What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm your host, Kyle French. Today is November 19th, and on the show today, we will be diving into Metro Boomin's producer-driven work, Not All Heroes Wear Capes, and Vince Staples' EP, mixtape, album, playlist. No one knows what to call it, but it's called FM. We'll get into both those. We'll do a little headline hunting to see what's popping in the industry. And we got a hard-hitting, hot-in-the-streets song of the week by a man who I praised earlier this year, so it's good to see him making his rounds and coming back with some singles to close things out. As always, we'll round things up with new music announcements and recap the fresh content that just hit the airwaves. And thank you once again for tuning in and listening. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to hit that subscribe button on iTunes or via the Apple Podcast app. For more content, you can find me on Instagram. I post what I be listening to and comment on some albums I might not necessarily speak about on here. So yeah, go support the kid at HipHopEnth, HipHopEnth. So let's get right into it, because I've been excited to talk about this Metro Boomin album, Not All Heroes Wear Capes, in all caps. So it's not a joke. Right from the jump, he's like, bold letters, this is for real. And Metro has been the face of trap music. He came up producing for Future, and has essentially birthed the careers of many of trap's mega stars at the moment. Somehow he's still only 25 years old, despite it seeming like he's been guiding trap music for like the entire decade and been ahead of everything. You'll find him as a primary creator behind the career-defining moments of artists like Migos, Future, Kodak Black, 21 Savage, to a lesser degree, Travis Scott. You know, I give Travis more credit as a solo act, but he certainly got some help from Metro early on. He's originally from St. Louis, but he's basically been adopted by Atlanta, helped manufacture the city's identity, at least their modern identity anyway, as it stands in this decade of music. He also even announced his retirement just 7 to 8 months ago, somewhere in that time frame. I think it was like back in March, but clearly that didn't last long. I mean, that might even be new news to some people. So here he is with what I believe is his solo debut, essentially. He's done so many collabs, and he's been the executive producer on a lot of mixtapes and albums for other acts, but I think this is his first full-on by Metro Boomin producer-led album. And these type of albums, they always run a lot of risks, because obviously producers can only instill their musical statement through the instrumentals, since they're not primary vocalists, or at least they shouldn't be, at Swizz Beatz. Stop rapping on your songs. Really, Swizz, you gotta chill. But back to Metro. So these albums also run the risk of feeling somewhat disconnected or sounding like a sloppy playlist. And it's almost, you know, sounds like a bunch of guys who would fit into a general subgenre. And, you know, you just kind of throw their songs together and you play them on repeat or whatever. It's not really cohesive. So it's an uphill battle to begin with. And one thing Metro did to combat that was he kept the guest list relatively short, throwing different versions of the same artists at us, different iterations of the same guys. I mean, you see Travis Scott appear on 5 songs, 21 Savage on 3, Sway Lee, Gunna, Young Thug, Offset, all also make multiple appearances. And this definitely made the project feel more concrete, for me at least. I mean, even songs like 10 AM featuring Gucci, which I liked, it was actually the open on here and got things jumping from the go. But because it has nothing in common with the rest of the album, it's not one that I remember. It's almost forgettable just because it doesn't tie into the group of other guys who dominated the track list. So that's a win for Metro right there, because he was able to tie things together and make this feel like it's a full-on album experience. And on top of that battle, obviously the biggest element at play here is, did Metro bring the chops? Is the production the main show? And it's a resounding yes, in my opinion. Perhaps I'm playing the kind of like it exceeds my comparably lower expectations card, because sometimes that happens with trap music where you know it's almost meant to be a lesser value, so when it's good, you raise it higher than it maybe should be. But Metro showed off some intricacies that I've never really heard in trap music that I really enjoyed. I mean, his bass is still somewhat simple, with the dark, spacious beats that are incredibly crisp. They don't have, you know, an exorbitant amount of pieces contributing to the beats, but they all stand out in their own right, and that's Metro's greatest talent. It sounds like each piece, every part of the beat, is the primary focus itself. You can choose the snare claps, the synthetic lead melodies, or the booming bass and hear them all so clear and distinctly, and it's just so satisfying. The best way I can describe it is it's not like these pieces all give, you know, 25% to equal out to 100. It's like they all give 100%, and it leads to the beat almost being like 400%, you know? And I think it's that precision is why Metro was able to invent the standard for trap and the standard for setting the streets on fire while keeping a relatively small palette. But we know about these talents for the most part, and they've been on display constantly with Metro doing, like I mentioned, millions of collab albums, executive producing, left and right creating hits. And it's that development and transition to incorporating more dimensions into his music that makes Not All Heroes Wear Capes, in my opinion, the best trap album to come out this year. I mean, look at the end of the intro, contains this piano-based beat and sampled vocals from a 1974 soul song titled Save the World. I mean, how many trap songs are doing that? And he opens Borrowed Love in similar sample fashion, bringing the track After Laughter from 1964 back to the front of hip-hop heads' minds. And you may recognize that song from Wu-Tang's iconic track Tears from their debut album in 1993. And these pieces show up multiple times, and we get outro skits speaking to the heroes slash save the world theme that's taking place. And I just think it's rare that you get this focus and effort to pull things together on a trap record and bring more texture to the sound. And you can look at just epic moments like the Only One interlude. You get classic Travis with his fuzzy reverb vocals pouring out his heart and pain over these lighthearted, like, emotional keys and strings. And when I first heard that track, that was when I knew, like, this was a special album. This is going further and beyond the, you know, the call of duty for what a trap album is supposed to be. And Travis's explosion into the refrain on this track, where he's just yelling Only One, was, like, truly gripping and hit me with a wave that this subgenre so often lacks. And I mean, the seamless transition into the Gunna Led following track, Lesbian, is absolutely perfect. The transitions on this album are phenomenal. They're seamless. You would never know where the divide is between songs if you weren't, like, watching for it. And this pops up multiple times as well, which I can't say enough about this album. Every, like, good thing it does, it has it in multiple areas and, like, keeps building on itself. And now the guests still have to bring their strengths out as well. I mean, producer albums sometimes, you know, sport like cut verse or lackadaisical performances. So despite Metro killing it, I mean, these guys still got to bring their stuff. And Metro didn't let them lack. He didn't let them just come in for, you know, 20 minutes and give them a throwaway verse. 21 Savage, a guy I've actually criticized a lot, even on this podcast when they dropped Without Warning last year. I mean, he was the MVP on here with multiple standout performances. His whisper bars on Don't Come Out the House are both the quietest and hardest thing on this whole album. I mean, he just, like, drops into these death whispers that was iconic the first second I heard it. And another thing that I've never heard that on any rap record, right? And then later on, he delivers probably his most substance-filled verse ever on the track No More. Alongside Kodak Black and Travis Scott, he discusses his dependency on drugs and the underlying reasons for why he turns to substance abuse as a coping mechanism. And the trio as a whole also references the evil demons that fame has brought them. I mean, you get Swae Lee and Travis making a smooth trap ballad with Dreamcatcher, which has low-key become a guilty pleasure of mine. I mean, the only tracks that weren't good fits were when things suddenly switched up to these dancehall Afrobeat style tracks. I mean, you get Only You, which is an awkward dance between an oddball cast of J Balvin, Wizkid, and Offset. I mean, that song stood no chance from the get-go. But outside of those two, I bump every track on here, thoroughly enjoy Not All Heroes Wear Capes. Metro has established himself as the king years ago, but it appears that he could even continue leading trap music and continue innovating in that lane for years to come. So I am all on board with this Metro debut. Best tracks on here, Don't Come Out the House, No More, 10 Freaky Girls, Only One Interlude. My least favorite tracks, Borrowed Love, Only You, and Space Cadet, which was just Gunna solo. I'm not really a big Gunna fan, so that one fell a little short for me, but it was still, like, maybe the best Gunna song that I've heard. So I would recommend this album to you if you like Travis Scott, 21 Savage, or Young Thug. My overall rating for this album is a light 8 out of 10. And I'm going to play a couple tracks from the album here. I'm going to play Don't Come Out the House, which features those 21 death whispers that everybody has to hear. And my favorite moment on the album coming on Only One Interlude featuring Travis Scott. So I'll play those two right here from Metro Boomin's Not All Heroes Wear Capes. This is Don't Come Out the House and Only One Interlude.
Don't come out the house, cause the gang outside. Bang outside, I hang outside. Don't come out the house, cause the gang outside. Bang outside, hang outside. Don't come out the house, cause the gang outside. Bang outside, hang outside. Don't come out the house, cause the gang outside. Y'all must thought that I was gon' whisper the whole time. 21. I ran out of weed, I sent your bitch out of town. Gave her 1500 and she came back with pounds. Rappers think they it, but they really just clowns.
Oh God.
Gucci stole 100,000, that's just in a day.
Oh God.
Always cheating, I'm a dog, think I need a cake.
Oh God.
Savage loaded chips and dip, I'm not talking about lays.
21.
Throwback raps, call them retros, I'm not talking about J's.
21.
First name 21, last name Hefner, I got too many freaks.
21.
Levi jeans, low self-esteem, he on black people meet.
21.
Look like Maya, she's on fire, who got the keys to my G?
Straight up.
Who won't smoke, cause I won't smoke, I had a wet dream about beef.
21.
Bang outside, hang outside, don't come out the house cause the gang outside. Bang outside, I hang outside, don't come out the house cause the gang outside. Kids see my car, they get the plan, bingo.
You told me you never let me go. I tried some things that make you wanna stay in that penthouse. All we did was fight and fall. I told you some things you never seen before. We did some things that your mama would never know. Was it the pills? Was it the drugs? Swim in my pain, I drown my love. You know what? You know what? I knew I was the only one. Only one.
That was Don't Come Out the House and Only One Interlude by Metro Boomin from Not All Heroes Wear Capes. That has been on absolute repeat for me. Big fan of that album. And out of those like 15 projects that dropped on November 2nd or whatever day it was, that's probably my top one. So shout out Metro. He's been around for a minute in an industry where the turnover is faster than it's ever been. And he's still staying ahead of things, still at the forefront of trap music. So let's get into our second review of the day, and that is for FM by Vince Staples. For those who don't know, Vince is a 25-year-old rapper from North Long Beach, California. One of hip-hop's greatest personalities and like realest people you're going to read about, hear from, whatever. Just search up some of his interviews on YouTube. I'm not even going to recommend specific ones. Anything you find, I guarantee it's amazing content. The dude is hilarious. He's incredibly cynical and just... he comes with the strangest angles to like questions, and he's hilarious. But we're talking about his music today, and this is, no one knows if it's an EP, an album, mixtape, playlist. No one knows what to call it. Not even Vince will give us a straight answer. He's coming with his typical cynical answers. He's saying like, oh, I don't care about the titles, the classifications. You can call it whatever you want. If it's good music, it's good. If it's not, it's not. You know, like, that's just who he is. So he won't really give us an answer. I'm just going to call it an album. It's 11 tracks. It is I don't even know if it's the 30-minute mark. But the album takes on a radio show concept. It's set as like a block of airtime on Big Boy's Neighborhood, which, if you're not familiar, is a popular LA-based radio station and one that Vince says he listened to all the time growing up. So it's been a big part of his life. And so to like bring it full circle and make that a concept of his one of his own albums, pretty cool. We get air breaks, we get bits, caller skits, song previews, etc. Very cool idea. I'm actually shocked that, you know, no one has attempted this before. Maybe I just, you know, missed out on it or whatever. But you would think, with radio obviously being a huge part of the music industry, that someone would have pursued a theme similar to this, but not that I know of. And maybe this is why, because Vince aligns himself so closely with the concept that his music slips into virtual radio rap itself, with these short, repetitive hooks that are extremely flimsy and lacking purpose, whether it's just like a Juicy J impersonation with Vince yelling "Run the Bands" over and over, or T.Y. Dolla $ign's chorus on the opener "Feels Like Summer" that is just a blob of nothing, or the track "Outside" that has this like squeaky like group chant refrain that just honestly makes my skin crawl. And the verses contain some catchy flows. Probably like, you know, one of the first times in Vince's career that I would say he was going for entertainment value over just substance or keeping it real, which I don't know if that's a positive. I don't know if that's something he wants aligned with his music, but it's the type of catchy that just like gets under your skin. Like when you can't get a song out of your head, but you swear you don't even like that song. I got a lot of that feeling from FM with just like little one-liners that like really rub me the wrong way, but somehow I can't get out of my head. And I know his voice has always been higher pitched and nasally, but he's never sounded so whiny and conceited, at least like not to this degree or over the length of an entire project. And it almost sounds like he's trying to mock someone with like an insulting impersonation where you magnify all of the flaws of what they do to just really get at them. And those feelings like ran so deep throughout this project that it crossed my mind that this may be full-on satire. Vince Staples may have made this album to just straight up mock mainstream rap in the radio industry. And the radio industry has a huge say in like who becomes successful and popular in hip hop. And they've often been irresponsible, giving play to like less talented acts or doing things strictly for financial benefit. So there was an angle there. And I was like trying to put together the pieces, started formulating a theory that it may literally be a full comedy act of just satire where he's impersonating people and mimicking like the puppet act of radio rap. But realistically, if you step back and listen to what he's said about this album and how he's perceiving it and the people he used on it, that's not the case, which almost makes matters worse. Like if you're making real, honest music and I'm perceiving it to be like a joke or like a piece of satire, that is a bad look for a musician. And I'll give credit to some elements of this tape. I mean, the opener actually offers a chilling statement about LA life that reminds me of like who Vince really is. Vince takes the idea that, you know, it's always sunny in LA, it never rains in Southern California, it always feels like summer, and flips it into like this grave point. You know, often like cities like Chicago or New York, they're always talking about like, oh, summer's when the gang related activities ramped up and the death counts rise and bad things happen and it's bad for the youth and so on and so on. And the weather pretty much shuts that down, like, because nobody wants to go outside in the winter. But in LA, it always feels like summer, and Vince parallels that to, well, those problems are also always happening in our present year-round if it always feels like summer. And that was probably the strongest takeaway I got from this whole album, and it was within one track that didn't extend over the life of the full project. I mean, more general statements of like gang life come out, as just is often in Vince Staples' music. He's never been afraid to admit to his affiliations with, you know, the Crip gang or the culture that he grew up in and the lifestyle that he's known. But here he was just so much more peripheral on the subject, never really going into details, never making strong statements, never telling a story of any kind, very indiscreet in general about all the topics that he brought up. And it leads and loops right back into that radio rap feel I was talking about, because that style of music doesn't value messaging. It's more about the sonic catchiness and the pop culture attentiveness. And that's how that type of music survives. And all I really learned on FM was that Vince is from Long Beach. He's been around gangs. And be careful out here, because sometimes people die. And like that was it. There was no overarching themes or large musical statements. There's no experimentation like on his last album, Big Fish Theory. I mean, the production's fine on here, but it's a huge step back as far as experimentation is concerned. I do like how blatantly it contradicts the summer artwork and implications of the titles and the way this album's being talked about, because it does take a much colder, desolate feel, but it's fairly standard for the most part. I could hear a million different artists rap on these beats. They weren't tailored to Vince's character. I don't hear these beats and like think, oh yeah, that's a Vince Staples track right there, or that's, you know, a snippet from an upcoming album from Vince Staples. None of that like sparked those feelings. It was just a very painfully average album. I mean, I really just don't understand the angle and how so many people are praising this album. I just don't see it. FM like literally comes off almost as a full-on satire and a complete joke to me. Vince can still rap, and there's little moments. There's lines where, yeah, I admit his flow has gotten a lot catchier. He seems more comfortable, but I mean, at what expense? I mean, this is easily his worst project I've heard. Some of the best moments on here were, you know, the exciting previews into new Tyga and new Earl Sweatshirt songs, which was like 30, 40 seconds of those guys possibly previewing a real song that's coming up. I doubt it. I'm sure he just got them to do a quick cameo to play into the radio appeal, which once again, I appreciate that theme, that concept. I applaud him for trying to work that out and tie it into the album and keep things cohesive. But in the end, it just doesn't save this project from being super average. So best tracks on here, Feels Like Summer, Don't Get Chipped, and New Earl Sweatshirt. My least favorite tracks were Outside and Run the Bands. I'd recommend this album if you like Tyga, YG, or Snoop Dogg. And overall rating, I'm going 5 out of 10. A number I didn't think I'd ever be dropping on the head of a young, talented MC like Vince Staples. But who knows? Hopefully he bounces back in forthcoming years. He usually drops like every year. I think since like 2012 or 2013, he's put out at least one project every year. He even said he might have 3 or 4 coming next year. So let's pray for that bounce back and just skip over this one. I'll play a couple samples here. I'm going to play Feels Like Summer and Don't Get Chipped, which features J-Rock. And these are both from FM by Vince Staples.
Best believe that, man. And being that it always feels like summer, okay, Let's go ahead and make you feel like summer.
Summertime in the LBY, we gon' party to the sun under the guns come out. JB first one fouled out playing ball, now the whole city love you a how. Boy, know they wasn't down from the get-go. Dirty got a dozen rounds, better get low. Lil' Johnny gave his life for the shit. All he got was a plot and a bottle from the Winco. Still no side, park side, been stole. 2 wins, no friends, we skip those. Try finessing my way in the heaven, might hit that gate, might fall from a great splat. On the concrete, real street runner. First month still feel like summer. Cold weather won't stop, no gunner. Wrong hat, wrong day, I killed my brother.
Ay, summertime in the LB, Lord, I ain't shit a bro, nigga gon' tell me now. Drop top with the top down, now all the bad bitches gon' feel me now. Ay, oh, oh.
Coachella. Hey, never been touched, niggas know better. Hey, same way since summer school, baby J. Either I'ma make the news or make a play. Pass a Lisa house, coulda took a different route. Wouldn't be without, think about it every day. Moved on life fast like that. Still struggle with the past, I ain't strapped. Somebody gotta watch my back. Everybody wanna count my bag. Ease off me, these streets taught me. Speak softly, please don't taunt me. Knowing Vic and them stayed on 8th. If they ain't kill me, then I be great. Now they looking at me.
Summertime in the LB. No, it ain't shit a bro nigga gon' tell me now. Drop top with the top down.
Came make 10 line, bitch, I'm finna buy a whole crate of guns from my 90 crib. Shit, I really came from the slums. Time to represent, let me see you bang where you from. Don't be acting spooked, I'm a troop, I don't give a fuck. I just wanna live it up, you start make him give it up. Flocking this for hoes, I'ma take somebody's soul. He don't give me what he own, now I'm getting what I'm owed. You ain't see me at a show, oh, you missing out. So I bring the realest out. Everybody know me, who's somebody to know? Watch me mind my business while I'm counting my dough. Stay away from sidges who will clown me before. On the road to riches, they gon' step on your toes. Sammy told me that a change gon' come. I'm not going if my gang won't come. If you see me pull that thing, don't run. Playing ball if I swing home run.
I ain't on that medication. It's only money that I'm chasing. That is all, represent my location. Don't get chipped. Don't get chipped. Don't get chipped, nigga. I ain't got the patience. Yeah, I hustle like a mental patient. I'm tryna ball, let me run my demonstration. Don't get chipped. Don't get chipped. Don't get chipped.
Everybody say it's lonely at the top. I want my homies at the top. My little homie, he got shot, and now I'm moving by my lonely with a 40 in a mop. Been a pull up early morning, and somebody getting dropped. I throw a party on your block like I'm Tommy the Clown. $100,000 car, bet you proud of me now. Took my mama out the set, house as big as my mouth. Started yelling, got requests, so I shot in the crowd. Pow! You a fan, I'm the man, it's a difference.
It's a difference.
Stop pretending. You know you feel it. Record deal, but I did it independent. If I peel, this somebody going missing. Randy told me they just wanna be down. I'm the nigga that they wanna be now. Who done did it like I did it from the hometown? Started dead broke, but I'm on now.
I ain't on that medication. It's only money that I'm chasing. That is all, represent my location.
You just heard Feels Like Summer and Don't Get Chipped by Vince Staples from his latest project, FM. As you can tell, I'm not a crazy fan of it, but a lot of people are. A lot of people have been giving it positive scores, saying they fuck with the new Vince. So if you're one of those people, go ahead, bump it. But as for the show right now, we're going to get into some headline hunting. We're going to see what's popping in the culture. We got a short news cycle here. There weren't too many headlines that jumped out at me, so we're just going to run through four quick ones here. First one, I got Juice WRLD responds to Sting's potential lawsuit over Lucid Dreams. You're probably familiar with the song Lucid Dreams by Juice WRLD. It's his biggest song to date. Absolutely blew up off of his debut, Goodbye and Good Riddance. And it interpolates a Police song from 1993 titled Shape of My Heart. Sting apparently originally was cool with it, said he enjoyed the song, we're all good. He got a cut of money. They said they even ended up having to give him 85% of the profits from the song. And now he is suing again to try to get 100% of the profits. This is just unnecessary and selfish to me. I mean, the reason that that song is big isn't simply because of the instrumentation they pulled from that one song. I mean, I get it. Like, if you sample, you got to pay up for it. You got to pay the artist. If they made that work years ago and you want to use it, you got to pay up for it. I get it. But to try to sue for 100% of the song, like when they already paid you, is absolutely crazy to me. Like, this guy must, I don't know if he's hurting for money or what. Like, they're a huge band. I'm sure he's cool. It seems like it just makes no sense. And it's just, my best guess is stab in the dark to pretty much stick the middle finger to like these young hip hop artists that are coming up in a genre that maybe he doesn't like. I don't know nothing about him, so I don't want to officially cast that on him, but that's just the feeling I'm getting from it. And you guys know me, if you listen to the show, I am not a Juice WRLD fan by any stretch of the imagination. And one of my favorite artists of all time, Nas, actually interpolated the same piece of this same song when his track The Message came out in 1996. I don't think he had any problems with it, so I don't know what the difference is here. Maybe it was the way they cleared the sample, whatever. But yeah, hopefully they just get through this. Juice WRLD can move on with his career and he learns his lesson that he's got to pay up for that stuff. Next headline I'm looking at here is Swizz Beatz reveals why Nas, Jay-Z, Jadakiss, and DMX collab was omitted from Poison. He had this track with some of the greatest New York City MCs of all time and he decided to cut it, and he said he was worried it was going to take away from the rest of the album. He said, the song was too good. I was worried people would only listen to that and nothing else on my album. This is an absolutely terrible excuse. I mean, for one, the album is literally just a playlist of random songs. It's not really an album. It's a collection of singles. So why not throw the one that is going to catch the most people's eyes and most likely be the best song in the album on there? Makes no sense to me. He's hiding behind this, like, veil of musicianship. Like, he did the best thing for the piece of art, so I had to leave it off. It's like, no, dude. It's just everyone wants to hear that song. And you didn't put it on there because you thought they were going to take too much of the shine off you, which they deservedly would have. And your beats didn't shine through anyway on your album. So who cares? Just throw the best song on there. I'm hoping he releases it soon because, I mean, Jay-Z, Nas, DMX, and Jadakiss. I mean, Swizz, I'll damn near buy your album on vinyl if it means I can listen to that song. So just come to your senses here. Give the people what they need. I'm also looking at an article here that says YoungBoy NBA blacks out during lit performance. This dude, there's a video too. You guys got to check this out. He's literally like rapping in a crowd of people, performing his song, everything, and just like goes cold. Like just falls into the mosh pit. Like his crew has to drag him and like run him out of the theater. Like if this is honestly just a case of him being overwhelmed by the moment or having some like, I don't know, health issue. He didn't drink enough water or some shit. But if this is like happening multiple times because he's getting like coked out of his mind or he's on Xanax or getting extremely drunk before his concerts, you got to chill because I've seen like millions of times like these young guys coming up where they do stupid stuff. They have to cancel concerts and it's like, dude, this is money in your pocket. Like you're an artist, this is what you do. You got to go out and perform for the people. You got to entertain, like it's your job. You can't just like flake and be like, oh, it's not happening. You know, I know Uzi's done it a million times where he gets a show booked and he's like, I just don't want to go. Or like, oh, I got too fucked up last night. I can't go to the show. As of now, I'm just going to give YoungBoy NBA the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if it's happened with him in the past before. And like, I feel bad for the dude. He's in the middle of a performance that he seemed very passionate about and just done. Just fell into the crowd out cold. So I don't know. Hopefully he figures it out and kind of an embarrassing moment. But keep doing your thing, YoungBoy, because I kind of like you. Your music's kind of cool. Last one we got here, Large Professor grants DJ Scratch's wish for new Main Source music. If you don't know who Main Source is, that makes a lot of sense because their last piece of music came out in 1991 in the form of the album Breaking Atoms. And then spontaneously, I should say more coincidentally, this guy DJ Scratch put up an Instagram post saying, you know, at Large Professor, we need a new Main Source album. And he responded, and he's like, yeah, we're going to record, like, New Year. Like, you can come through and help us make it if you want. I don't think anybody saw that coming. I mean, it's been a 27-year gap between albums. I mean, I know Tribe went from, like, 98 to 2016, so that was a crazy gap in albums as well. But 27 years, damn, like, I don't know what this is going to sound like. But if you want to preview the album, Breaking Atoms, go for it. It actually has one of Nas's first big performances on the track Live at the Barbecue, which has become pretty much iconic now to date because it was when, I think he was like 16 on the song, which is crazy. And people were like, damn, this guy is nice. And then he ended up dropping Illmatic and his whole career unfolded from there. But this is kind of the starting point. So that's like a cool claim to fame for Main Source and Nas. So be on the lookout for a new Main Source album. That would be crazy. So that's what we got going on in the culture today. Like I said, kind of slow. I didn't see much going on. Could have talked about Tekashi 6ix9ine and Kanye West again, but I feel like I do that every week in this segment, so we'll let them chill. And we'll just get into our Hot in the Streets song of the week. I said we had a hard-hitting one for you guys this week, and we do. My man Saba, I reviewed and gave his album Care For Me very high marks back in, and honestly, I think it was like the beginning of the year. The album's been out for a while now, still one of my favorites, so definitely go stream it, buy it, listen to it, Care For Me by Saba. He needs all the support he can get. Underground artist, one of the most talented young guys in the game. But he came back, he dropped two new singles for us. One was Stay Right Here, which featured Mick Jenkins and a really sweet chorus from Xavier Omar. That was much more of like a sentimental track. I was gonna play it, but then they came through and dropped another one. This single, Saba, teamed up with the artist IDK, or formerly known as JIDK, another guy bubbling up in the scene. And this one's titled Beautiful Smile, and that is our Hot in the Streets song of the week. This segment's more about like the bangers, and so I decided to go with this one. It's actually a lot more hard-hitting than the more softer and lighter-toned Stay Right Here. But both I would highly recommend. So I'll give you a taste of it right here. This is Beautiful Smile by Saba featuring IDK.
I got a beautiful smile. Honestly, I forgot how. Since I put my boy in a box, sometimes I see him in the cloud. I've been away for a while. I'm in the band of town. Niggas debating about who is the greatest for what you debating about. Niggas aching for clout, I know. Niggas who run in your house without staking it out. If you ain't really bout shit that you say you about, I went a different route. I just go pivot the couch. I just envision the count, then I go get that amount. I got a beautiful house, but honestly, I skip the town anytime that the temperature down. So someone dissed me in the crew, but honestly, I forgot who. Cause niggas are snacks and what's crazy is that it's somebody I probably knew. Me, I don't get it, no clue. That just some shit you don't do. That just some more shit I add to the list that I can't get no energy to. Watch what you put up on the web. You don't want everyone aware. I just had to leave the hood cause motherfuckers treating me like a celeb. I just went and cut my dread, but I got some beautiful hair. I am just searching for something that's real cause this shit really not what they say.
I got a smile, but honestly, hell. I put my boy in a box, sometimes I see him in the cloud. I've been away for a while, I'm in the band of town. Niggas debating about who is the greatest for what you debating about. Yeah. I swear that it's always something. Get to it, I always want something. Ay. I swear that it's all assumption. Hair out, they always want something.
I got a beautiful condo, stacking my bread for the house next. Labels keep trying to sign me. They do not have the amount yet. See, I come from a place where them niggas don't usually amount shit. Boarded up houses across from the suburbs that's causing a feud like the northern and southern. The fight for the slavery recall society got them running in your mother's house. Cause they under your covers, there's no one to cover. That's pointing their gunners, they running for cover. The news ain't gonna cover, there's nothing to govern. When niggas keep fighting and killing each other to deal with each other for dealing to others, dealing with the facts. Make a nigga wonder who gon' have my back when a storm thunder. He gon' take the white, cook it, make it butter. Ain't no thinking twice, he don't never stutter. Money in his sight, running to them numbers, that's the finish line. Right before he crosses blue and red lights, central book and cover, 25 to life. Something like his cousin, that's the way of life. Nothing's ever promised. But
I got a beautiful smile. Honestly, I forgot how. Since I put my boy in a box, sometimes I see him in the cloud. I've been away for a while. I'm in the band of town. Niggas debating about who is the greatest for what you debating about. Yeah. I swear that it's always.
So that's your Hot in the Streets song of the week. Beautiful Smile by Saba featuring IDK. Both of them went off on that. And you can see Saba isn't quite out of the darkness and the depressed state that he came across heavy on and Care For Me, but Stay Right Here, the other single, definitely hints that he is moving in the right direction. I think he'll be making some more happier music coming soon. But let's take a look at some new drops here. We'll see what new content just hit the airwaves. Last week, November 9th, we got Noir by Smino, A Love Letter to You 3 by Trippy Red, Jamla is the Squad 2 by Ninth Wonder, Still My Moment by T Grizzly, Come Over When You're Sober Part 2 by Lil Peep, Signed to the Streets 3 by Lil Durk, The Pimp Tape by Too Short, and the EP IDK and Friends by IDK, who we actually just heard from. He had some dope tracks on there, so make sure to check that out as well. Just this last Friday, November 16th, we got the long-anticipated Oxnard by Anderson .Paak. We got It Is What It Is by New York's own Kirk Knight. We got some EPs as well from big names like Thrice Times by Big Crit, or music inspired by Illumination and Dr. Seuss's The Grinch by Tyler, the Creator. Yes, that is a wintry Christmas-themed EP. And we also got some other albums kind of hanging on by threads over here. The Sunset Tapes, A Cool Tape Story by Jaden Smith, kind of a loose collection of tracks, more of a mixtape, and Lost at C2 by Birdman and Jaquez. So that's your roundup of what just dropped. Next week, we're definitely going to be taking a look at Noir by Smino. Not sure what the other album we'll get into is. Possibly the Trippy Red. Maybe I'll just do the IDK EP. Not sure yet. But stay tuned. Make sure you listen next week for that. And that is a wrap on the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. I've been in here 62 times. And we're going to keep bringing that heat. So if you want more, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to leave a rating on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Hit me up on Instagram @HipHopEnth. Hit my DMs, always open. I'm always responding to people. Drop me some feedback. Let me know what you've been listening to, what I should do more of, less of. Whatever it is, you can find me there on Instagram at HipHopNth. And once again, thank you for listening. I'll catch you guys on another episode of the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast next weekend. Until then, peace.